You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, what is up, Real Ass Dudes? Luis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, back for another edition of the Real Ass Podcast, hanging out at Stand Up New York Labs, right above Stand Up New York, in the wonderful and glorious New York City, New York. Joining me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, the one and only international superstar, Zach Amico. Zach, how you doing today, buddy?
Boom. Doing good, buddy. It's a dawn of a new era here at Stand Up New York Labs. All the Bill Cosby records are off the wall.
Are they gone? No, yep. They're not. No, they're not.
Yes, they are. All the Bill Cosby records are gone. I confirm.
Yeah. No. They took down the fucking Cosby records?
Yeah. Most sleep rapes in one night.
Time out. Can I have them? Can you get Fatigate in here for me, please, for a minute? Are we going? Are we good? You don't have to worry about the board for a second. Stop acting like you do fucking work there, do you? I know you're on fucking Reddit the whole time behind that computer. Go grab Fatigate for me. I need to ask him about this. That's crazy, man. They took down the Cosby records when he allegedly, this is alleged still, he's not been convicted of a crime, when he allegedly molested some women. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm debating how I feel about it. I'll tell you, my first reaction was, I was like, oh, that's fucked up. Don't do that. He's still a legend in his own right. He still deserves to be on a wall full of legends. We still have slave owners on fucking bills in this country. We still celebrate, you know, a lot of people that have done a lot of fucked up shit. But we don't take away their accomplishments. Martin Luther King, you know, he was a notorious fucking philanderer, right? Philanthropist. And a philanthropist. I can't say any of those words. Why am I trying to say words that I can't say? Fatigate, get on that microphone right there, buddy. It's not working. It's not working? Come over here. Come talk on Zach's mic for a minute. Johnny Fats. All right. Johnny Fatigate, the proprietor, the leader, the man responsible for everything that you see here at Stand Up New York Labs, and somebody that I have a ton of respect for.
Thank you.
What's going on here? Zach just told me you guys took down the Cosby records?
I didn't take them. Look, I know like people like to pass the blame, and I usually like to, but I did not take them down. There are other people involved.
Somebody put a drug in your drink? And all of a sudden they were gone.
I'm not going to say who, but there were women who were offended by the
Hannibal Buress.
First of all,
he came in and he said, take those fucking records down or I'm never performing here again.
Yeah. No, it was not Hannibal. But there was somebody that I was getting a shit for it nonstop. And then someone literally physically just came in and took them down.
Do you think this is the point I was just making as you walked in? I said there's a lot of people in the world, in the history of the world, that have done a lot of fucked up things that have been confirmed that have done a lot of fucked up things, and we don't necessarily take away their accomplishments as the things that they've done. Like I brought up Martin Luther King. I brought up who was the president who's famous for owning slaves 1 through 14, I think.
Well, Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson. I mean, he still was the president. He still did great things as the president. You know, we don't know that Bill Cosby did that, do we? Do we know it?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we do not know. You're right.
It's the only thing that bugs me. And it's just kind of like, all right, I've been bringing up the John Jones thing a lot here for the past few weeks on the show. You know, John Jones, they stripped this guy of his fucking title. They took away his ranking in the UFC. They before he has been convicted of any crime, right now, he has been arrested and he still has to have his day in court and he still has his, you know, time to tell his story. And I almost feel like I have to afford Bill Cosby the same type of respect that I would.
If only John Jones had beat his wife and kidnapped the guy with a shotgun, he could have made $100 million.
I know. I've said that before about Mayweather. Fuck that guy too. You know, but it's like, I feel like we're in a country where the second somebody is accused of something, anything, we immediately take away anything that they've accomplished.
You're right, but like I feel like the Bill Cosby thing's a little bit, come on. He's got like a million women that have come out against him at this point. And I'm not like, I really don't care if his records are up there or not. Honestly, I'm taking all the records down eventually. But I mean, like,
we're just starting with the blacks.
But Everyone that came in, Nikki Glaser was in here all the time bashing them. Every female comedian, then a lot of male comedians too, were like, what the fuck? Why is Taylor making fun of it? It's just you're the butt of the joke every single day.
But that's okay. I don't know. I think it's kind of funny to make fun of the joke. I'm just saying you'll never take away his accomplishment as a fucking legend and as a huge influence in the world of stand-up comedy. And when he hasn't been convicted of anything, when he's just been accused of something, my immediate reaction is to go like, well, all right, you know, look, I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I think he probably did some fucked up shit. But I'm not going to, until I know that for sure, until I know he's a piece of shit, I'm not going to say, well, I'll fuck that guy. That's crazy. You know, I've been accused of fucked up shit in my life. And if people were just to throw me under the bus and say, yeah, Zach, whatever you're going to snipe in with, you cocksucker, I see it on your face. If people were, you know, were to just throw me under the bus because I was accused of something, I think that would make me feel pretty fucked up, you know? And I just think that my own thing is, anytime, and I've said this before on multiple shows, but anytime somebody points their finger at you, if you're called a bully, if you're called a sexual predator, if you're called a rapist, whatever it is, if there's something in the realm of that, immediately when you're accused of it, everyone goes, oh, fuck that guy. You know, and I just think that's kind of an unfair. I think we live in a society where you're guilty before.
It's easy to point a finger at a sexual predator, but it's a lot more fun to point all five fingers and high five them.
That's all I want to say. I'm not really giving you shit about it. Can I have the records, though?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Yes. I don't know that. See, here's the thing. This is how I know I'm a bad person. Because I literally had like an overwhelming feeling of joy come over me when I just found out that I'm getting the Cosby records.
B's going to hate the new bedroom decorations. It's just all on her side.
I think it's great. Thank you. I'm taking them home with me today. Thank you, Fatigate. Appreciate it. All right, look, the show's a little bit different today. We don't have Scopo, and we don't even have a guest. I was going to book a guest last night, and I was like, you know what? Me and Zach, have we ever done just a show, me and you?
The first one, and I think 1 month ago.
Like a demo or whatever we did the first time. I think that me and you, I don't know, I think that this is, I'm not going to shit on Scopo at all, but I think this is kind of the show. I think this is the dynamic. And I wanted to take a step back and kind of just have thank you so much, Johnny. Oh my, there's a bunch of them. All right, first of all, you're an idiot because these are probably worth money. And they're already mine. There's no, you can't take them back now at this point. I guarantee you these are worth money. Okay. But I like the fact. In fact,
don't give him a bag to put those in so he has to carry them on the subway back.
I will carry them proudly. I'm going to put them over my shoulder like I'm a boxing professional champion. I'm going to wear 8 different Cosby records and be like, come at me, bitches. Can you do me a favor? Can you look up how much these records are worth? Now, I want to know how much money this dummy just gave me in fucking classic vintage records in their original casing.
And give us that in dollars and how much GHB we can buy with them.
Ah, shit. I like the idea of just doing me and you today. Let's just have some fun. Let's relax. We have some cool shit planned for the Real Ass Podcast very soon. Here's the thing, man. I'll be honest with you guys. I've been making a decision to do this for a little while, and I'm very close to making it happen. We got to make a couple other things happen, but I want to turn the Real Ass Podcast into a 3-day-a-week show. I want to have it in the afternoons on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. I want it to lie right in between ONJ and Anthony Cumia, and I think that me and you have the right type of vibe to do a show that would work and kind of attract those fans. So that's kind of the idea. And you know, it's not, look, I know there's a lot of Legion of Skanks fans that want to see that show happen more than once a week and want to see a lot of other stuff happen. You know, obviously we've been talking to the Cumia Network and trying to make a deal work with those guys over there as well. But, you know, in reality, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know the future of that show altogether. There's a lot of moving parts in that world right now. But what I do know is that I love doing the Real Ass Podcast, and that I think that I just feel like this is a show that could go more than once a week, you know? And I want Zach, here's the thing. Zach, he's got a fucking day job. Zach, what's your day job?
Sales.
Who would buy something from you?
It's on the phone.
I mean, you have an okay voice. I don't like you on the radio because of your voice. Your voice isn't even that good, okay? You're just quick. I like your vibe. You're a weirdo. You take punches. You give them. It's great, all right? I dig what you do. But your voice is a little bit weird, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay? I have a grating voice.
What do you sell? Don't name the company, but what do you sell?
I resubscribe people to publications that recently expired.
Is it porn?
No, no. It's all business-to-business soft calls, very like industry-specific stuff.
What? All right, without saying any name, is there any way to do this without giving the name of the company? Let's pretend I'm on a call, all right?
And basically, I just call businesses.
Okay, so I'm a business owner. What type of business owner am I?
For this one, let's say you own a plastics company.
A plastics?
A lot of my work is with plastics.
A lot of
work? I basically, it's usually a receptionist or somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Donnie's Dildos. How you doing?
Hi, my name is Zach Martell, calling from Plastics News. I was trying to reach whoever would renew the subscription of Plastics News that goes to Mr. Luis J. Gomez.
Hold on. Let me get Louis on the phone. Hey, what's going on? Luis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican rattlesnake here. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Gomez. My name is Zach Martell, giving you a call from Plastics News real quick. Just looking real quick, your subscription to Plastics News is about to expire. We're just calling you with a reduced renewal rate. See if you wanted to still get it, or let me know if you didn't want it anymore.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I do all my stuff on the internet now. I barely even read this magazine anymore.
Oh, all right. Thanks a lot for your time. Have a good one.
What Bye-bye. The fuck is that? What, that was your sales technique?
I work hourly, buddy.
Time out. You didn't even try anything there.
Yeah, I don't push.
I
make hourly money, dude.
You're not in a sales job. You're in a fucking...
And I get bonuses based on sales.
You're digging holes and filling them. That's all you're doing. You're not even... First of all, that has to be the number one rejection that you would get, correct?
More or less now, half my work is...
You sound like a freaky woman. Click.
Yeah, no,
that's the one.
Oh, do you have no idea how many people say, no, thank you, ma'am, and go, boom. Yeah, no, it's literally, it's just something. They let me make my own schedule, and let me take off however long I need to take off when I get movie stuff. It's just something to pay the bills.
So you won't rearrange your schedule enough to make sure the Real Ass Podcast happens
three
days
a week?
I can't
rearrange my schedule to a way that I can make enough money to pay my rent and bills.
You should not be doing that job. That is the worst fucking job for you. That was awful. Can I try to do it?
No, I don't want to play.
I want to be the guy.
Go ahead.
All right. Hey, what's going on? This is my name is Luis J. Gomez. I'm calling from fucking Fuckface Publications, and I just wanted to speak to the person in charge of renewing your plastic magazine subscription.
He's not in right now. You'll have to call back another day.
Okay. Is there a time that's best to reach him?
He's in and out. It's going to be hard. I would suggest emailing him.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the person's name when you call?
Yeah.
Okay, see, this is what you're doing it all wrong. This is why you're an idiot, okay? Sales 101. I did sales for a very long time, okay? Here's what you do, okay? You're the gatekeeper, okay? That's what they call the person that answers the phone. The receptionist is called the gatekeeper, okay? So what you got to do is you got to get through the gatekeeper. So let's say I'm looking for John Wickens, right? Ring, 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 ring.
Hello, Plastic Industries.
Hey, what's going on? Can I talk to John, please?
John who?
John Wickens.
What is this regarding?
Tell him it's Lewis.
Is he expecting your call?
Yeah, just tell him it's Lewis. He knows who it is.
One moment, please.
That's it. By the way, that right there, that's how you get through the gatekeeper. You don't fucking say, hey, can I speak to the decision maker? That person's job is specifically there to block you the fuck out of their life. That's why they have a receptionist. Why do you think they pay a person? So they don't have to deal with a bullshit fucking sales guy like you. You break through the gatekeeper. That's the way you do it every time. Oh, let me talk to John. Then you act annoyed. He's really... Listen, just tell him really quick. Tell him it's Lewis. I'll be real quick. Boom. Get through the fucking gatekeeper, dude. You got one opportunity to get a yes or a no here. Okay, that's one. I can fucking murder. Can I just take your job? Actually, can I quit comedy and radio and do this job? I'm getting excited about it now.
Oh, no, Lewis, you don't. It's just,
sales
it's
101. How many people do you close?
What?
How many people do you close?
20 or 30 a day.
20 or 30. That's pretty good then.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I think
I work on a sliding bonus scale. I always make the highest one.
You need to embrace the fact that you're a funny guy. I think you have a future in radio, but I don't think that you have enough confidence in yourself. So this is why you won't fucking make a jump. You should literally right now, if somebody on the level of the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez, came to me, I'm talking about comparatively to where you are. Okay. Cause I'm like at least 40 or 50 levels ahead of you in the business, okay, which is crazy. So I'm talking about Dave Chappelle comes to me. That's like about the distance between us, okay? He comes to me and says, hey, dude, I want to do a fucking show with you 3 days a week. Let's make it happen somehow. I would rearrange my fucking life to make it happen, okay? That's why I can't wrap my head around it in my mind, why you wouldn't go, hey, you know what, dude? This guy really wants to do some shit. I hope that you would have enough confidence in my ability to make shit happen. I know you watch Legion of Skanks go from 300 fucking, not even, from like 50 downloads a week to, I don't even want to say the numbers right now, but it's a lot. Okay, it's a fucking lot. The numbers that Legion of Skanks is bringing in right now are insane, okay? And it's for a multitude of reasons, but a very, very big part of it is because I took the reins and I started producing that show, and I made sure that we were doing everything from putting the content out on time, having extra peripheral content, going out with the shows, booking the right guests for the show, having the right dynamic, getting a team of people that can make all of everything move together, getting the video content up. I put so much effort into making that show grow from being nothing. Now you look at this show, which is a few thousand listeners a week already. If I were you, I'd go, you know what, dude? We could probably emulate that. We could probably do something. I think we have a funny enough of a dynamic and a good enough of a show, but I need a little bit more confidence from you. It can't be all my fucking vision and letting go and taking the chances. I got a fucking baby to feed and I'm taking this chance. All you have is fucking your titties to feed. That's it.
Had to get insulting. See, this is why I don't want to do it.
You do want to do it.
No, but what about when I get another movie in a few months and you fire me?
Well, it's not that I'm going to fire you. You got to make a decision on what's important to you. The truth
movies,
is,
then that's my decision.
Well, then, okay, then this probably isn't the gig for you. I'm going to be honest with you. Then the radio isn't the thing for you, because the truth is I'm not looking to do this, so we're just fucking around. This is turning into a career for me, okay? So if SiriusXM or Kumia or another outlet that comes at radio shows and podcasts with money came to us and said, hey, we want you to do this, it might be the type of thing where you can't leave for 3 months. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not willing to make a commitment to this, and if it's about going and doing movies and that's it, and you wouldn't pick a project that would keep you in town, then this probably isn't the project for you. I gotta be honest with you, Zach.
Yeah,
you
no, know? I
know. Because I think you're great, but I just need to. I'm almost looking for a guy that is saying, "Hey, dude, I'm fucking all in." Because that's what I am. I'm all in. You know, and if you can't be all in on one of these things, like Legion of Skanks has gotten to a place where we have obsessive fans. Okay, we have people that are fucking obsessed with the show, and it's because we all put everything into it. You know, and it became a thing where everybody really truly believed in the project. We made sure we were committed to being there every single week. That was one of the major things about that show that got it going. Was every Tuesday night we ended up being there. Every single week on time, it became a thing. You know, that consistency was really, really important. And if somebody was out of town, we made sure that we had another show that happened in its place. And like I said, dude, if that's it, I don't know. We should have a different conversation about this, because, like I said, I think you have a great talent at this, but it's impossible to have a career in this if anytime something else comes up. Because I mean, look, I'm not even being a dick, dude. It's not like the last movie you did. I'm sure it's fucking great. You made some dough. I know it's what you want to do. But in my opinion, if you had a fucking radio gig that was paying the bills and it was something that you were doing.
Yeah, if it was paying the bills, I would do it.
Dick face. Do you think I want to do this as a fucking hobby?
No, I don't. But is until this you, I can see.
This is the problem with most people, okay? I watch.
I can't tell my landlord the Puerto Rican rattlesnake is going to call her.
Maybe you can. Maybe you should get off your back a little bit. Okay. But if more people had, dude, this is all the secret and all those bullshit sales books that really come into play here. But if you just had, if you said, hey, dude, if you said, I'm going to make money in radio and this is what I'm going to do to pay my bills, you would. It's as simple as that. If you can't connect to that idea, I deal with it with Beatrice all the time, my son's mother. She's a photographer. She's a great photographer. But instead of saying, hey, I'm just going to be a photographer, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to figure it out, and just making making that decision and believing in your ability and letting the universe figure it all out, she says, no, I need to make sure that I have X amount of dollars coming in every single week. And she's been a photographer for longer than I've been a comedian, you know, and she's... I feel like there's an easier path to make money with photography. If I was a photographer, if I was a good photographer, I feel like you can go and, I mean, all you need to do is fucking make connections with people and get them to like you. Dude, everyone needs pictures in their life at one point. Everyone's going to have a kid at one point. Everyone's going to have a wedding. Everyone's going to have a friend who needs headshots or is an actor or somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's just really about having a belief in your ability and just kind of letting go and kind of letting the rest of it figure itself out. But if you need like a safety net, it's really fucking hard. If you don't connect with the ideas of like the secret. Did you ever read The Secret?
Yeah.
It's awful. Like, I get that it's awful, okay? I don't believe if you can genuinely will an elephant to walk in the room, okay? But I fucking lived it, dude. I've personally lived it. I'm making a living telling dick jokes, and I'm not really that good at telling dick jokes. That's a reality.
Listen, I've always just had the movie thing more in mind. And I gave up everything when I went and made that first movie. I left everything. I fucking lost all my money, any money I had saved, everything.
Yeah.
I am still recovering from making that big trauma.
That's almost the attitude I wish you had toward doing this show, which is like, yeah, dude, I'll fucking.
Literally at that point, it was go make that movie or kill myself. So I chose the movie. So
look, I get it. I understand completely. But that's kind of the attitude that I'm looking to for you to have toward the show, which is kind of like,
kill myself.
Dude,
I know.
I want you to kill yourself. No, I want you to have an attitude of like, yeah, dude, I'm going to give it all up to go do this show because I believe that this could be something, you know? And, you know, if you don't, you don't. I got to start thinking about me. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about other people for a long time. You know, Legion of Skanks, dude, it's almost like a part-time job for me. You know, I the amount of time that I spend on that show behind the scenes, it's almost infuriating. You know, I think about it and it gets myself like, I'm like, why am I putting my effort in for other people's careers? You know, I know it's partially my career as well, but Legion of Skanks is a show where Big J gets to look like the fucking man. You know, I get to look like a dummy in a punching bag. And it starts to grate on me after a while and I go like, well, why am I spending all of my efforts making somebody else look like the fucking man? I need to start making myself look like the man, you know? And that's it, you know? The story on that show is constantly that I'm this fucking, you know, dummy, scumbag, fucking rapey guy. It's like they're telling the story from when I was a 24-year-old kid. If you go back to when I was 24 years old, by the way, when Jay was 27, 28 years old, Jay was just as much of a scumbag, okay? The truth is Jay had a wife at the time, so we couldn't tell Jay's stories for the past few years on the podcast. Jay has just as many scumbaggy, rapey, piece of shit stories as the rest of us, okay? But it's just kind of...
Oh, I know. I've checked my ex-girlfriend's phones.
I believe that too, 100%. Oh, yeah. So look, here's the truth, dude. I got, you know... You know, I have to start thinking about the future. I have to start thinking about the future of everything, you know? And I don't know. I like I said, I just don't know. And we should obviously have a conversation off air as well. But, you know, we need to kind of – I need to think about the future of this show and the direction of this show. And at one point, I'm going to need you to either shit or get off the pot, you know? And like I said, I would never ask you to give up a fucking movie career for a podcast, you know? But I would say, hey, dude, you know what? Let's give it a few months of making this show work and putting our efforts into turning it into a business and trying to get some money coming in off of the show. And that might take a little bit of fucking, you know, just a little bit of belief in the intangible, you know, because that's what this whole game is. That's sales 101. Is belief in the intangible, is saying, just completely disconnecting from the fact that somebody says, fuck off, don't call again, and understanding that that is a part of just a bigger picture. And those no's are just a part of a ratio to get to the yeses. That's what when they say every no gets you closer to a yes in sales. All it is you figure, all right, one out of 10 people will all close on the phone. So I just got to dial 10 numbers and get to that yes. And if you can literally disconnect with that idea, which is kind of an intangible thought, it just becomes very, very tangible. And then in sales, you start to embrace the no's. You start to have fun with the no's. And that's what we're doing with these shows and with our comedy career is we're just kind of reselling it over and over again. Well, will this work? Will this work? Will this work? And eventually we're going to start hitting the yeses and eventually we'll start making money and doing the things we want to make do off of it. But I think you have to fucking let go and have a little bit of a belief in it. So I don't want to spend any more time talking fucking hippy dippy sales theory, but I do want to know how much these Bill Cosby records are worth.
30.
Each?
Like around 30.
What?
I looked at his whole catalog.
That's amazing, dude. So 30, well, 60.
Somebody's canceling their spots next week.
90, 120, 150, 180, 210. Can you put these on eBay right now? I don't want them. I just want the fucking dough. $210. Can you find out how much GHB costs? I actually want to know how much. This is actually a good thing, dude. I want to know how much GHB we can buy with $210.
Now, I fuck fat girls, so it's going to have to be like a dose and a half.
We're going to need like a horse tranquilizer. Can you find out how much cattle cattle prods and horse tranquilizers are. Yeah, as we, you know, we're talking about the subway before, and walking through the subway with my Bill Cosby records showing. It's so funny because I've brought this up on the show a few times. I brought it up last week with Ralph, my woman spreading argument, which I'm noticing it more and more. Okay, a while ago there was a blog. I'm gonna look it up really quick. Man spreading. There was a blog, and I forget who it was by. Oh my god, I love the fact that manspreading is now a term in Wikipedia. Wikipedia, somebody actually put it in there. Manspreading or man-sitting is the practice of sitting in a public transport with the legs spread apart, thereby covering more than one seat. I mean, this is crazy to me. New York Times, manspreading. The Daily Telegraph, manspreading. Gawker, ugh, just disgusting. Now, here's the thing, okay? Guys do sit with their legs a little bit spread apart, okay? I think we are just built differently. We naturally sit that way. I mean, for as long as I can remember, I'm sitting now. It has nothing to do with an entitlement, okay? Like,
It's a bone structure issue.
It really is, dude.
To sit with your knees together as a dude hurts.
It hurts your balls.
Especially in the bucket seats of a train. The way your back and your legs and your knees all go together, for you to sit with your knees together hurts. It's uncomfortable. You cramp up.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so look, right now, look, if you guys can see me, I haven't moved my legs at all. I'm fucking sitting with my legs spread because this is just the way I naturally sit. It has nothing to do with male entitlement. It has nothing to do with me saying, fuck the other people on the train, okay? It has nothing to do with it. Now, I've seen people do that. I've seen, like, fucking thuggy dudes do that. They spread their legs and they're doing it in a purposeful way. And I purposely go sit next to those dudes to be a dick, okay? Because fuck those guys. If you're doing that, go fuck yourself. If you're on a crowded subway car and you're wearing your backpack, you're taking up two spaces, okay? You're a dickhead. If you're on a crowded subway car and you have your body leaned up against the pole and you're taking the entire pole so other people can't hold onto it, you're a cock. Woman, man, whatever it is, that's an entitled action. But the idea of man spreading, men sitting with their legs, I mean, come on, dude. It's insane. And what I started noticing was women, way more often than not, will use extra subway cars for their bags. I mean, I've seen women, their shopping bags, their purses, they even lean their one leg over it. I mean, so today I'm on the subway and I'm seeing all of these women with their bags on all these seats, and I'm counting them. I'm like, holy shit, dude, it's a whole subway car full of these women. So I posted a video. If you guys go to my YouTube page, I believe it's youtube.com/LewisJGomez, or if you just look up the video, it's female entitlement on the New York City subway. I just went and I mean, you guys can't see this here, but I just took a video, a little hidden video, as I'm walking to the car, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, two women right next to each other with bags on a chair. 6, there's a little girl who has her bag kind of leaning on a chair as well. I mean, insanity. Okay?
So the thing to learn from this is Lewis took a video of a little girl on the subway today.
I don't know exactly how legal that was. I'm pretty sure this is what Anthony Cumia got in trouble for. He was probably trying to prove some point with some fucking black chick. And he started taking video. And I didn't want that to happen. But I did have to take 3 different takes of this video. Because my phone's fucked up and it takes weird videos now.
Yeah, I can't. I've told on the show before the time that when I had my iPod out and that chick thought I was taking a video of her sleeping.
Yeah.
And like flipped out on me. I'm too nervous to take random videos of strangers. I'm too date rapey looking to start with.
Well, first of all, anytime your phone comes out, they assume you're looking at something weird or about to take a video of somebody and whack off to it later on.
Which, by the way, if that's how you're going to do it, that's like the nicest version of subway pervert.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not illegal to take videos of people, right? I mean, I guess that's the whole thing with taking videos of cops and taking videos of people fighting. I watched another video the other day. There was a guy who, I guess it was people fighting in the street, right? And he pulls out a cell phone. And it's two guys and two girls. They know each other, obviously, okay? And they're arguing. I don't know exactly how violent the fight was getting. It seemed like an argument. And the guy's videotaping them. So at one point, one of the guys is like, buddy, stop fucking videotaping us. And the guy's like, nah, I'm just taking a video. I'm not coming near you guys. You know, I just want to make sure nobody gets hurt. Don't worry about it. And he was like, yeah, buddy, stop taping us. So the guy's like, nah, well, I'm taping you. So that's just that. Now, right here, as I'm watching the video, I'm going like, huh, dude, I think this guy's kind of cunty. You know, like, look, if I'm arguing with my chick, right, let's say it's getting heated for whatever reason, dude. If you caught me arguing with B, right, at our most heated, it would look pretty violent, you know? And this is with anybody. If you think back, if you're at home right now, think back to a time where you've been in heated. Violence is the wrong word. When I just mean in a really heated argument with your chick or your boyfriend or whoever, you know. And think about when it got really heated and you got out of control and you got a little fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things you might have been saying or the motions of your body or how aggressive you might have been acting. You know, I'm the guy that puts
you fucked a nit. Oh, sorry.
I'm the guy who
that was her to me.
Yeah, I'm the guy who puts his fist through, you know, a wall. I'm the guy who breaks things in the house. I'm not proud of this stuff. This is just, you know, it is who I am. I typically don't spill that out to the street, but I'm not saying that I'm above anything. I've gotten into heated arguments in the street with ex-girlfriends where it's gotten crazy. I had an ex-girlfriend who was crazy drunk one time. We got a huge thing in the street, you know, spit in my face. You know, if somebody were to pull out a camera in that moment, as the dude there, I need to displace my anger. You know what I'm saying? There has to be a way to fucking like, dude, and if there's a guy videotaping me at my vulnerable moment with my chick.
Who you can't hit.
Who I can't hit. Not on camera, anyway.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? You know, I know me. I'd be like, buddy, turn your fucking camera off. No. Buddy, if you don't turn your camera off, I'm going to smash it into fucking pieces. So this is what this guy does. Maybe you had a buddy with him. They start coming toward the guy. Once again, I don't know that they were going to attack the guy. Maybe they were just going to smack the camera out of his hand, be like, go fuck yourself, dude. Like, but I get the displacement of anger right there, and I get the situation that those guys were in. So this guy apparently has a concealed carry permit, the guy who's videotaping, pulls out a gun. Back the fuck up, motherfucker. Back up. I'm going to fucking put a bullet in you if you step one more fucking step toward me. The guy's like, what? The chick starts crying. Please go away. What are you doing?
Blah, blah, blah. I'm so glad you got fired from SiriusXM.
What's funny is I actually saw this on the Kumia Reddit. Somebody posted this on the Kumia Reddit. Apparently the guy who did it, the blogger, I think he's a conservative. Or not conservative, maybe a libertarian blogger or something. I don't know. I don't want to give false information. But he does like right to carry videos, and apparently he fucks with the cops a lot because he has a conversation with the cop, and the cops do end up coming. And he tells the cops, we've had our problems in the past, and the cop says, yeah, I know you have your opinions. I don't care. So I'm assuming he's that dude in this town. He brings his camera out and he does shit and people get fucking heated up. But I almost feel like that guy's kind of a cunt. That guy's kind of inciting. Let me pull up this guy's name because I want to actually. I mean, look, I don't know. Maybe this guy's awesome, okay? I almost killed someone last night.
Oh, that's what he called it?
Yeah, he said, I almost killed someone last night.
Ugh.
Christopher Cantwell is the guy's name. And the name of the video is, I almost killed someone last night. You know, let's see. Let's see.
If the name of your video is, I almost killed someone, you should do a second take.
I did kill myself. Yeah, I mean, let's see, some garbage podcasts, banned from Liberty, a lot of Liberty words. I'm assuming he's a libertarian, radical agenda. Yeah, I don't know this guy. I don't know that he's not awesome. I'm not even shitting on him. I just thought that move was kind of fucking whack. You're going to incite.
I hope the next video he's in has fucking four Arab guys in hoods. What a fucking curvy sword. Fuck this guy.
It's kind of cunty right here. I mean, let me pull it up a little bit. I guess I did explain the whole thing, but I you know, maybe I'm crazy about it. These people are arguing.
Which already, by the way, if I would hear people arguing like that, I'd be like, all right, honey, we're going to go take another block.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that I would even not watch it. If there was dudes yelling at a chick, I might stick around and make sure nothing happened. But that's the dude move. I feel like the move as a man is you go, all right, you step in, you're like, hey, buddy, do me a favor. Cool. And I've done that too. I watched a dude slam his foot, like grab a chick by her arm and kind of like slam her into a wall almost. And I stepped in between them, and I literally was just an instinct in me. And I sort of hit in the girl. I helped him.
I'm making sure nobody gets hurt here.
Hold on. 1 second. But,
okay, that's fine.
Let me just pause this. I mean, the chick is saying don't record us. The guys are saying don't record us. I mean, they're arguing about whatever. Like I said, I don't know. but it seems like he's being a smarmy cunt. You know, I stepped in between the guy and the chick, and I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, fucking cool off, dude. Take a walk. I was like, my buddy's gonna call the cops. I was with a buddy. He's calling the cops right now. Just fucking beat it, man. I didn't come at him aggressively. I wasn't about to fucking take a punch in the face. I was willing to, because look, once again, in a weird way, I'm when I'm preaching against with this guy, I'm kind of doing the same thing. And if this guy had at that point wanted to really misdirect his anger and aggression toward me and wanted to kind of shift it, it would have been even almost an understandable thing, you know, especially as
But you weren't doing it in a selfish way. The fact that this guy's videotaping, period, is a selfish thing because, you know, he wants to post. You don't take videos to not post them. Or not show them to people.
You're going to take them to... I would understand maybe if there was a crazy thing going on, I might take a video. It depends. You know, I took a video of the building went down in Harlem about a year and a half ago in East Harlem.
You just took a video of six ladies who put their purses haphazardly.
I'm not saying... What I'm saying is you wouldn't necessarily take a video to just post it. It was just some crazy shit. It was the fact that it went down. Yeah. I took it. You never know. Like, I didn't even know why I was taking the video necessarily. Maybe if it was a better quality video, I would have posted it. I don't know. But this guy, obviously, he has a blog. He, you know, he's got a lot of hits on his website. He's got a website, stevecantwell.com. You know, it's obviously he does do this stuff. So at that point,
ISIS, stevecantwell.com.
I mean, it's just like, look, and by the way, I'm not, what do you think about gun control, Zach? Do you believe people should be able to carry guns around?
I wish we lived in an idealized society.
What is that?
I wish it was possible to eliminate guns. I don't think it is.
Right.
And especially in America, because they're so vital to our culture. I mean, guns have been in our blood since the founding of the country. I don't know if there's a way to realistically get rid of them.
No, that's AIDS in your blood.
And, I also just think if we make guns illegal, great. Now only bad guys have guns.
Yeah. Well, look, I think there's something to that.
And I want to say the Australian method should work, but now there was just another big shooting in Australia.
What's so the Australian method? Be a comic in New York City, fail out, move back there, and gain 50 pounds? Hey! Kelly Fasuka will never escape it, guys. What's the Australian method? What's that?
No, she'll just have to buy two seats on the airplane back.
Fasuka spreading. It's just her living life.
Well, in Australia, they had like a giant mass shooting.
Yeah.
And they pretty much just banned guns. And everyone turned in their guns. And there was no shootings in Australia.
Well, I mean, what
for
about
a long time? But then there was recently one a few months ago.
But one? That's okay. If it's one, if there's only one every few years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so something
but,
like
no,
that.
No, but I mean, like a huge, huge, like.
We got to get Kumia on. This show, because I'd like to talk to him about it. Because I have talked to him about gun control, and it's not so much like, here's the way that I really feel about it, okay? If people would just stop being phonies and just say, hey, dude, I like going pow, pow, pow and watching shit explode, I would accept it more. You know, it's like firecrackers. You know, let's stop pretending that there's some fucking, like, there's some bigger pursuit of anything. When it comes down to it, we like watching shit explode. We like big monster trucks crushing little cars. That's what we are, okay? And the fact that they try to hide behind the
Second Amendment.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I'm an idiot. The Second Amendment, it just kind of makes, it's just a little bit phony, you know? So the real thing that makes me say that I don't think people should be, or at the very least, if you're going to be able to have a gun, it should be really, really fucking hard. And I guess it's really hard in New York.
Who's the comic that does the bit that bullets should be like $500,000?
Chris Rock.
Perfect.
Yeah, each bullet's $5,000.
Yeah, perfect.
One of the best bits on earth.
Yeah.
Okay, he was like, people would think twice about shooting a motherfucker if a bullet was $5,000. Brilliant bit, okay? I look at the guy that I am and all the anger. You know, I'm talking on today's show about the times that I've punched walls and argued with my girlfriend and been a psycho and done all this shit. I don't know that if I had a gun at my hip in a lot of these situations, not with my girlfriend, but just a lot of the stupid shit that I've been in my life, I don't know that if I had a gun at my hip that it would have really helped the situation. And I don't know that at one point in my life I wouldn't have pulled this gun out, not necessarily used it, but pulled it out to scare somebody, pull it out to make myself feel more protected. And who knows,
Lewis, if you had a gun, it would be your closer. What'd you say, motherfucker?
I just show it and they'd be like, done. Drop the mic. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I feel like, and I, like, I'm this angry guy.
Pay your checks quickly and quietly.
And no one gets hurt. I like your impression.
Ladies and gentlemen,
more
Zachary
Meeker. But I look at myself and I go, well, am I that angry of a guy? Like, I am, but I'm not a fucking psycho. I don't think that I'm in, you know, I don't think I'm in a category that's like fucking out of this world. I know people like to make, you know, make fun of me. Like I'm this, once again, 24-year-old Lewis who was quick to get into a fight with somebody or quick to finger fuck a girl in public. That's just not me anymore. I'm not that guy anymore. Okay. But I just look at that and I go, there's a lot more guys like that in the world. There's a lot of guys out there like that. And I don't want to be in a world where it's that easy for somebody just to press a button and take somebody else's life. You know, there's a lot of fucking dummies, dude. You know, if everybody was just a responsible gun owner and if everybody was just going to be fucking, you know, like my chicks or, you know, Beatrice's uncle, he has multiple guns. You know, he has guns, but he's just a dude.
Did he show them all to you individually, then nod?
But he's not, he's a guy that he's just never going to be irresponsible with his gun. You know, and so for me,
like
that's...
his niece was with her pussy.
Jesus, Zach. Come on, Zachy. But yeah, man, that's really it. Gavin McGinnis, dude, fucking was on this thing. I posted it today. I'm Fatigate. I'm starting to love Gavin even more. Did you see him on Fuck? Was it Hannity? Dude, I'm gonna play it because if you guys should go, first of all, go listen to Free Speech Radio on Stand Up New York Labs. Great show, Gavin. I didn't really know this guy too well, but I've been watching his shit more and more. I'm becoming a bigger fan of his. I don't know how much of it he believes. I think it's 98% of what he says he really believes. And then I think there's 2% of it that really enjoys trolling like fans. And I think part of this, there's a little part of him that really enjoyed trolling this woman. But they're on Hannity and they're talking about, I don't even know the topic, but he starts going into about how women are unhappy. And the reason women make less money is because they're, he says, less ambitious. And he goes on to say it's because they want to be housewives, which is really true. When they talk about women making 70 cents on the dollar, they're talking about the overall picture, and they're not taking into account that there's a lot of women that are housewives. I don't equate that to women not being ambitious. I happen to stay at home with my son every day. It's, you got to be pretty fucking ambitious to do that with your life. It's a very difficult job. But either way, the fact is there's a lot of women in this country who are housewives, who work part-time or take a few years off to take care of the kids. So when they take that into account, that brings down the number that women make. But there's a lot of other variables. The fact that Asian women make, or Hispanic men make 70 cents on the dollar to an Asian woman. Nobody really looks at the nuance and the specifics of these numbers. There's so much more than just black and white. And that's really the point that I think he's trying to make. But he does it in a way where
you can fit a lot more Asian women in the back of a pickup truck. So.
But he does it in a way that's
no,
fucking.
It's not. Washington Gavin? Free Banana Peel is not a legitimate
It'd be the
organization.
Washington Free Beacon, which is a legitimate newspaper. Yes.
Legitimate
Gavin, look, there's different ways to look at the data, but the big picture here is women do earn less in America because they choose to. They would rather go to their daughter's piano recital than stay all night at work working on a proposal.
What?
So they end up earning less. They're less ambitious. And I think this is sort of God's way. This is nature's way of saying women should be at home with the kids. They're happier there.
I hope that your viewers do not take you sir, seriously.
There's a great book you should read. It's called Why Men Earn More, and it's all about women choosing to put family over work, and that's why they earn less.
Having a choice does not mean that you're less ambitious, and your comments are absolutely deplorable. Sean, I would like
less
you...
Less ambitious in the workforce.
I would like you to adjust
housewives,
it. You're a father. You have a daughter.
Heroes. If you were a real feminist, you would support housewives and see them as the heroes,
you
and women who work wasting their time.
You said that women are less ambitious.
Women are
you
less ambitious.
Said, you have also said that women are better suited in the home.
Yes,
you've also said that, that women are emotional and women shouldn't run for public office. All of these things that just
I never said women shouldn't run for
yes,
public
you
office.
Yes, you have. You've said
if
that
If we're talking
before.
About 50% of the population, generally out of this 250 million people or 150 million people, most women are happier at home. They are pretending that they like working and they're not making money because they don't stay all night at the office. They don't go the extra mile.
Why
they don't
am I
work all
here?
Weekend.
I'm
You're making a mistake.
Here.
You would be much happier at home with a husband and children.
Oh, boy. I want to not like him so bad.
I know.
But he's so committed to it.
I love it.
And
I love
he's
it.
So unapologetic.
I love that.
That's what I like. Is he doesn't apologize. As much as I want to go, oh, this fuck.
I know.
There's something about him.
You
like,
had a weird
oh,
thing when he was in here. Did you not like him?
I feel like sometimes he likes to change what's being discussed to fit his agenda.
Oh, welcome to fucking Libertarian 101.
You know, so it's like, what bothered me when we were having a discussion with him, especially about, we were talking about comic books and having gay characters.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, there's gay people, so there would be a gay character because, you know, there's 100 people in that comic book. One or two of them probably going to be gay. And he's like, what do comic books have to do with sex? And it's like, well, it's not about sex. It's about fucking relationships. Superman had Lois Lane. Batman had girlfriends. It's like, why wouldn't...
Look, and this is what I said on the show. And
I do think that's like a Fox Newsy kind of pundit thing. It's like, well, fuck, somebody made a little bit of a leeway. Let me yell another thing.
I'm not a guy that... I don't decide... I don't let any agenda decide who I am. I really don't. I mean, I'm not a right-wing guy. I'm not a left-wing guy. I basically have certain philosophies in life that I kind of let dictate a lot of my decisions, and they happen to fall a lot of the time in line with certain ways of thinking, you know? But there's nothing. I mean, there's no... I'm not one way or another. But I think with that thing, with the comic books and having gay characters... there's a part of me that thinks it's just being done to appease the left. And I don't think that anything should be done to appease any political agenda when it comes down to a fucking comic book character. I just don't care enough. Look, at the end of the day, you know, if somebody wrote a comic book and the character was gay, I don't give a shit, dude. I really don't care. But to go and make characters retroactively gay...
Well, actually, they've been referencing him being gay since, like, the 80s. And in fact, a lot of people think the X-Men overall...
Yeah, but hold on. Let me ask you, though. Is it the same way that they reference Bert and Ernie being gay?
No, as in like...
Kind of like, he might be gay. Like,
well, no, he had a character... at one point, he had a girlfriend in the 80s who was her mutant, her power, was she changed between
turned
man
into
and
a
woman.
Giant
no,
man's
she changed
asshole.
Between man and woman. And he dated the woman.
Okay.
But then, like, it was ambiguous whether or not he dated the man as well.
I think that's also, once again, people that are trying to push that agenda.
But that's since the 80s.
But that's been going on since the 80s.
And they think the whole idea of the X-Men, the idea of, like, you're born with it, you don't find out about it till you're, like, 14 or 15. Well, shit, what's that sound like? It's 1% of the population is a mutant.
I think they should all be exterminated.
Yeah.
I stand with Magneto.
Charles Xavier School was a theater school, basically. They all went and learned about themselves.
Yeah, dude. Look, there's also a movement to get Bert and Ernie to come out. You know, that's a legitimate movement that it's not. And I guarantee it's not gay guys. I guarantee you there's no gay guys going, we want Bert and Ernie to admit that they've been fucking all this time. Because gay guys are shoving ecstasy in their asshole right now, fucking having awesome orgies, okay? They don't care about Sesame Street. But what it is, there's some fucking liberal arts fucking 20-year-old dumb cunt in glasses at NYU that writes some blog and says Bert and Ernie are gay and, you know, for society they should come out and you know, what are we teaching our kids if every character... And you go like, I don't know, dude. I'm not teaching my kid that Big Bird is fucking anybody, okay? There's no... When I look at Elmo's parents, okay, I'm not teaching my son, hey, you know how Elmo came about? Not right now. You know, it's because they fucking porked. You know, and even when I teach my son about what happened there... It's not going to be about the sexual pleasure that they get from sex, which is what gay sex is. When I teach my kid about the birds and the bees and about sex, it's going to be about procreation, okay? That's what it's going to be about, and he'll figure out that sex feels good on his own. Trust me. You know, I was a kid who I was exposed to a lot of, very sexual movies when I was a kid. You know, my mom was very much, like...
selling them for $5?
No, you got a free DVD if you bought her. If you got an hour with her, you got a free sexual DVD.
It was shrink wrapped to her back.
But no, I mean, I remember seeing when I was really young, like 7, I saw Clockwork Orange, okay? Now, in that movie, there's a few rape scenes, okay? There's like 2 or 3 rape scenes in the movie that are pretty, pretty fucking graphic, dude. Really, really stuck with me when I was a kid. The scene where they gang rape the old man's wife in front of him while he's in the wheelchair. And they tie her up. And I remember just the one thing that really stuck in my head was them cutting the nipples out of her shirt in the movie. Do you remember the scene?
Yeah.
Okay. How many times you jerked off to that scene?
Singing in the Rain, baby.
Oh, shit. And fuck it, dude. I remember so vividly watching that scene as a kid and watching this guy watch his wife get raped and the pain on his face. It was like good. It was a good scene, dude. Like watching the movie back as an adult is really fucking powerful. But as a kid, you know, just knowing what gang rape was, as a seven-year-old kid, knowing that these men were taking her pussy.
And then that's how you were conceived? Like, it had to be really fucked up.
That was Luis J. Gomez's origin story. Yeah. You got a little-known fact.
Your mother was a nurse at a mental institution, and they left the door locked with her in it. And there was 1,000. One was your father.
But
that's how that's the Freddy Krueger origin
story. Is that not, like, fucking crazy that, like, I knew what that was as a little kid? I really think that's kind of nuts, you know? And that's why when I say we're talking about, you know, what homosexuality is, it is purely sexual. Okay, it's a real thing in life, but it is purely sexual. You know that.
But
is
it's relationships too.
It is, but it's
just because two people. I mean, there's plenty of gay couples, like old gay couples, that don't fuck.
I'm sure there's bisexual characters in the game too. I don't need to know that fucking Silver Surfer likes dudes and chicks. I don't care. It just, for me, it doesn't make sense that we're even discussing this with our children. These are for kids.
No, but it makes sense for, like, so my chick's a preschool teacher.
Yeah.
And one of the books they have, one of the characters has two dads.
I get that completely.
So what's the difference?
Because that's kind of the point of that book, which is to teach them about that relationship in life. The point of the Silver Surfer is that he's fucking just fighting bad guys. It's not about who he's fucking. I don't know. That's, by the way, I'm not, like, wholeheartedly disagreeing with you. I get what you're saying. But it's just, if I had a choice, I would just kind of keep that separation. You know, it's as simple as that. I really look at the Bert and Ernie thing and I go, like, they just don't need, that's a real thing. And in Sesame Street, there's probably a couple gay characters. Maybe Bert and Ernie are gay. But does my toddler, do I need to explain to him what that is right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not demonizing it. It's not saying it's wrong. Like, I don't really understand whether that has to be put in their head. You know,
look, he'll understand fucking you and Dave a lot better.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. My kid, he fucking, dude, he loves to sing. He loves to dance. He's singing Frozen over and over and over again. He's sliding a little over to the other side lately.
He might just be Puerto Rican.
Dude, listen to me, man. He might.
If the hips slide back and forth and not towards the back, you're fine. If he goes side to side and not to the back.
But it's like, you know, that's something that I, you know, might have to deal with one day. I don't know. I don't know. My kid is, he's not like a rough, tough kid. I mean, he wrestles and stuff. He likes wrestling and grappling and playing with boys' toys. But that's something that I might have to deal with one day. And I have no problem at all. And I want
to
make his.
If you want to talk to my dad about it, feel free for advice.
Well, here's the thing, man. I don't think. You know, if my son ended up being gay, obviously there's a harder life for a gay person, you know, the same way there's a harder life for, you know, anybody that's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? You and I had harder lives, you know, so I want my kid to have the absolute best life possible. I want it to be as easy as I wish I'd hit the lottery tomorrow and be able to just put money in a bank and make sure that has everything in life and he never gets sick or nothing. But, you know, that's not reality. There might be a time that it comes down to, you know, he ends up being, you know, he ends up having, you know, I was about to say to choose a sexuality. He's going to have to make a choice one day, gay or straight, all right? And if he's my kid, he ain't going to be no fucking faggot, all right? No, but there might be a time where if my kid ended up being gay, I have to, you know, accept that and I have to move forward with him and teach him how to deal with life. And I want his life to be as easy as possible, wholeheartedly, whether he's gay, straight, or whatever, right? So I don't look at a comic book character as making his life any easier. I really don't. You know, he should be wanting to have that fucking person's powers. It's not, I don't, the kids shouldn't even be, are they relating to Clark Kent? Fuck Clark Kent. Nobody cares about this news reporter. They relate to Superman. They're not fantasizing about hanging out with Lois Lane. They're fantasizing about flying around the world and picking up trucks and throwing them, you know?
So I want to actually, before we wrap up, I want to tell my favorite you on stage thing.
Go ahead.
Was we were at a con, because it was your bit you used to do about would you care if your son was gay. It was the first week a certain comedy club was open, and I was working as the floor manager. You were hosting, and It was dead.
I still do that bit, by the way.
Okay. It was maybe 10 people in the crowd, and one of them was a family of five. And it was a dad, a mom, a daughter, a very effeminate-looking son, and then another very effeminate-looking boy who we will not know what their relationship was, but for the sake of the story, let's assume they were together.
Right.
So it's just dead. It's fucking horrible. And you do, would you care if your son was gay? And dad just goes, yes! And it's weird. You continue to go. You do the whole bit. I agree with this. This guy's a real ass dude, right? You start doing crowd work, and you're like, you ask the family what they're here for, and the dad's like, I got these tickets on, you know, group five star or whatever. And he's like, it was $5 tickets and one drink. And he's like, you're like, you suck. That's so cheap. What are you here for? And the wife goes, it's my birthday. And you go, this is what you did for your wife's birthday? You're the worst husband ever. Divorce him now. And she bursts into tears and runs out of the room. The gay kid follows her out. So now the family stays in the showroom, watches the rest of the show while she cries for an hour in the lobby, and this gay guy rubs her back. And I don't know what part was weirder, being in the showroom and hearing comics go up, and every time the door opened, you would just hear, woo, like a whale. Or being in a room with a crying lady, and every time the door opened, you just heard Gino Bisconte's horseshit act for like one. Yeah, let me come in your face, princess.
I remember that. Yeah, dude, I fucking ruined her night.
You ruined a family.
I hope. I swear to God, I really hope that that guy left her, actually, because she ended up fucking sucking, you know? And was the kid mad at me?
I think everyone was mad at you.
I've had people hate on that bit online. And basically the point of the bit, I say, would you care if your son was gay? And then I go into a bit how I used to say I wouldn't care if my son was gay until I had something happen in my life. And what happened was, and this is all true, I brought my dog to the dog park and he started humping another male dog. And the dog's owner started making fun of me for it. And I talked about how it broke my heart and fucking whatever. So that's the bit in general. But I've gotten shit where people are like, oh, what a hateful bit. I'm like, first of all, motherfucker, I say every bit of me would like to tell you that I wouldn't care if my son was gay. I have gay friends. I'm open-minded. I don't give a shit. Like, have fun. I'm all for gay marriage. All for it, okay? I think that is ridiculous that there's anywhere in the world that is going to tell you that you can't get married to somebody. I don't give a shit if you want to get married to a tree. I don't really give a fuck. Pay the fine. Let me benefit off the tax money for your marriage license. I really don't give a shit what you want to marry, who you want to marry, okay? But I have a very honest moment where I go, well, when they called my dog gay, it hurt me. It legitimately hurt me when they called my dog gay. My instant gut reaction was like, I don't call my dog gay. Like it was an offensive thing. The same way if I were to say, hey,
and your dog's not gay, he's just a psychopath.
Yeah, he's
may, you know, be the same case with James.
He's a serial killer. He's not a fuck anything. It's the same instinct as if I said, hey, you're gay, right? You wouldn't go, oh, why, thank you. You know it's being hurled as an insult, okay? So I took it as an insult when they called my dog gay. He happened to be in a gay action, but I took it as an insult. My honest reaction was to take it as an insult, and I think that's more of a commentary on just the way people in general look, you know? We just talked about for 10 minutes about how I legitimately wouldn't care if my son was gay. I would care if my son was gay, but I love my son more than anything in the world. I think I would end up being more protective of my son if he was gay. I think I'd end up bringing me closer to my son because I would feel like I need to protect him more, you know? So the fact that
you have a great video of you giving a blowjob, you can show him. I'm here to teach you everything. I can show you the world.
All right, we're going to fucking wrap up. Listen, we're going to get out of here. Make sure you guys go to Zach's show every Tuesday night. Is it Zach?
Yeah, every Tuesday at Bar None at 8 o'clock. And my new movie, Return to Nukem High, just launched our Kickstarter for our post-production funds. So look up Return to Nukem High Volume 2. Donate. We're going to be premiering in September.
Yeah, donate to Zach's shit, dude. This guy is a hard worker. Hopefully, we'll be able to make this show work 3 days a week. If we can't make it work with Zach, we can't make it work with Zach. But I'm going to make a push for this guy because I think he's great. And just got to fucking give him a little belief in his ability. I'll be at the end of the month with Big J, May 27th through 31st at Comics at Foxwood. So make sure you guys check that out. Go follow us both on Twitter, at Louis J. Gomez, at Zach Is Not Funny. We will check you next week on the Real Ass Podcast. Peace!
That's all, folks.